News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Dan and Sean this morning. By the way, if you want to hit me up on the text line and let me know if my phone is actually going to get better if it sits in a bed of rice at home, I would really like for my phone to recover
fully. Is it like a jasmine rice or something?
The rice, no particular rice.
The rice with a little scattered cell phone on top? That's delicious.
Well, the cell phone is not scattered as much as dead as a doornail. But anyway, will the trick work? That's what I want to know. Tara Zeman's our guest in here. She is an assistant with Keith Blackwood, who's the district attorney of Mobile. Good morning, sir. I know we have more important things to talk about. She said it's 50-50 that the rice thing will work. Well, that's great. All right.
What's your legal opinion on the rice thing?
Well, first of all, good morning, Dan and Sean. I think that it probably works half the time, 50% of the time.
Okay. I'll take it from that.
That's 25%, I think. Yeah. Welcome to the studios.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's the job as opposed to running for the job and campaigning for the job, and now you're on the job, and what's going on?
Well, the job is great. I'm loving being the district attorney for Mobile County. The team that we have and the team that we've built are working harder than ever, and I'm just so proud to lead them, and I think we are getting a lot done. We're about 200 days into my administration thereabouts, and we have come a long way since the beginning.
You're rolling out here going into school year 2023-2024, Helping Families Initiative. What is this?
Right. So we are coming into the new school year, and the Helping Families Initiative was a program that was begun by John Tyson Jr. when he was the district attorney in Mobile County in the early 2000s. When he retired, he partnered with Volunteers of America to take this program to any judicial circuit in the state that wanted to partner with him. He is close to being with about half of the judicial circuits around, but it's a program that seeks to identify students, ages 6 to 17, that are at risk for becoming chronically truant, and to give them and their families support resources that already exist in the community. It's like it's a private government partnership almost, and get them those resources so that they are better able to get in school and to achieve and hopefully to graduate.
Is there like a benchmark for how many days absence, how many absences it had before this kicks in?
Sure. We'll start at, I think it's 4 or 5 unexcused absences. We take data from the school system, and we will seek to identify those students. With a multi-agency team, we'll build a plan to, kind of interface with those students and their families to kind of figure out what's going on and to, help get them the resources that they may need, whether it can be anything. I mean, it can be medical issues. It can be transportation issues. It can be any number of things, but, this program seeks to identify those problems and help that family fix them to help them be successful.
So when the families are contacted by your office, are they, I guess it's a mixed bag, but some would be surprised, first of all, that these resources are out there, or that you even care, or that you even knew that their child was not, that their child is on your radar.
Sure. And, this is not a punitive type program. Mm-hmm. This is something that helps. And the purpose of it, we want to ensure the success of our youth. And we want families to be successful. But the effect of this over time is that crime goes down. And
that's what I was wondering. Is this a harbinger? If you hit a certain amount of truancy, does that then equal crime later in life?
It could, and there are a small number of people that we're going to be helping that would end up living a life of crime. I mean, I don't think the majority of people live a life of crime. I think most people are good, and so this is something to help and help. If we help those few avoid a life of crime, then that's better for the community. When students are in school, when the students are in the seats and the teachers are able to do their jobs, everybody benefits. So the program will not only benefit those students that we are identifying and helping, but it will help all students that are indirectly impacted by this program.
You know, there are students, that's maybe not everyone would notice this or necessarily believe it. There's some students who come from very impoverished areas that actually do succeed in school.
Absolutely.
That school is almost like that's the place they want to be. And the work that I've done, John Eads and Dolores Eads and the staff out at Light of the Village in Alabama Village, I don't know if you're familiar with that organization. But those kids, they're not all residents of the village, and I think now the village has kind of been cleaned out except for Light of the Village itself. Mm-hmm. But they either come from near there or from the village itself. Tough upbringing, and yet school, there's a lot of those kids that actually do well in school, maybe part of it because of John's intervention with their schoolwork and the staff at Light of the Village, but it's not time to give up on these kids.
Right, absolutely. And Light of the Village is a wonderful program, and you know what they do is fantastic for the community. And you know, we want to take the kind of attitudes that they're instilling in those students, and we want to instill those same attitudes in all students, especially those that are at risk of bad grades or dropping out of school. We want to instill that attitude for success because every student with an education has the opportunity to be successful, and we just want them to take advantage of that opportunity. A lot of people ask, why is the district attorney even involved in truancy? Mm-hmm. Why does the district attorney care about truancy? The Mandatory School Attendance Act, it covers children age 6 to 17, says they have to be in school, they have to behave while they're in school, and a couple more requirements. But it also says in the law that the district attorney shall vigorously enforce this act. And so it is my duty to enforce the act, but I also care about the success of our community, and I think this is an important part of it.
Is it just, because part of this seems like a carrot, and then part has to be a stick, right? If you go talk to the parents and say this kid has been, absent these many days, and you're going to try to help them, but then if they don't, there are consequences, right? What happens?
Sure, there are consequences. At a certain point, the student and parent would have to attend an early warning truancy program. We just got done with, sending out 15,000 letters for these, and we had about 10,000 come through. And after that, if things do not get better, if we're unable to help the child and their family buy into their own success, then the parent could face truancy proceedings at Strickland Youth Center. And truancy is, at Strickland, a truancy petition is something that's very serious. Our Strickland Youth Center is kind of overrun with truancy petitions right now, and this program is an effort to really reduce that because, at the end of the day, we do not want parents facing criminal charges for failure to keep their kids in school. We want to help parents succeed. We want to help parents help their kids succeed.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, too. I mean, as the backlog, and I want to talk about that, exists, having a bunch of truancy cases in there probably would slow things down. So how is, with your predecessor, we talked so much about the backlog that came out of COVID for cases. Now, under your 200 days, where are we?
Well, we're seeing a reduction in the backlog at this point. We've got, fewer cases pending in district court than when I started. We are about 800 cases or about 1,000 criminal counts down in circuit court.
Good.
Our circuit court attorneys face some of the highest caseloads in the state, at least. I think the average was about 450 cases per attorney.
Wow.
We're seeing that number come down. They are prosecuting through the cases coming in as well as getting into those old cases that have been pending. And additionally, I've been able to get some more resources thanks to the cooperation of the city and the county commission. I've been able to hire additional attorneys so that we can put more attorneys in those circuit courtrooms and further reduce their individual caseloads so that they can, better prosecute the cases, more efficiently prosecute the cases, and really do it in the right way that it should be done.
Is there the I know the effect to the negative was people wouldn't plead, right? Because they said, well, this could take years. Why would I plead now?
Right.
Now that things are moving back up with actually going to court, are you seeing people plead on cases?
We are, and we've been back in trial full force since January of last year. And last year we tried almost double the number of cases than we would in any given year prior to COVID. We're on a track of trying more cases this year than we would have in any year prior to COVID. And so we are trying those cases. There is that backstop now of, you're either going to accept responsibility for your crime or we're going to go to trial and you are going to accept responsibility.
You were telling me that this is not always necessarily the case in other cities or the other jurisdictions. With everybody's got the backlog. Everybody's got the problem.
Right.
So you came into office less than a year ago, correct?
Correct.
So you have this problem facing you, and you're going about it your way, which is trying to prosecute people.
That's right.
And get, maybe a quicker justice, but justice nonetheless, whereas some DA's offices are doing what?
Well, I went to a National District Attorneys Association conference. It was last fall during the campaign. It was a continuing education for administrators, for incoming district attorneys, and they had speakers from all over the country that were district attorneys that talked about how they dealt with the backlog. And there were a couple in particular. I believe one was from Georgia and one from Florida. And their solution through the backlog was to authorize their assistants to just outright dismiss thousands of cases.
Amazing.
With no justice for victims, no accountability for defendants. They just dismissed the cases, and they celebrated that as being
a victory.
Such a great way through the backlog. I was horrified by it, to be honest.
I imagined. The public safety component, first of all, putting these people back out that may be guilty. Second of all, how do those district attorneys and the people that work for them look at the families that didn't receive justice and say, well,
Yeah, that's a really good question. I can't answer that because I'm just diametrically opposed to dealing with the issue that way. This is not a numbers game for me. The numbers are very important to keep track of, but in my job, this is people, this is families, these are victims of crime.
I can't imagine that. If you're the victim of one of those people, or your family member, victim of those people, and wherever that office is, those district attorneys just said, nah.
Right, we're absolutely not going to do it that way in Whitehead County. We are here to do our jobs and to prosecute these cases.
Now, as the district attorney, how do the stories of the families that have been victimized, how does that inspire you? How does that kind of get to you? How does that mean something to you?
It's something that I think about every day. I've become very close to some of the family members that I've been able to help over the years. The strength that I see in them is inspiring. It helps me get up in the morning and do this every day. And I think, my assistants would say the same thing. We are able as prosecutors to help so many people. We are uniquely situated as the only people that can help in this way when something terrible happens. And so it's something that I take to heart, and it's something that I'm very passionate about doing.
The Helping Families Initiative, do you have what you need? Can people help in any way, or are you guys good to go?
We are assembling our team right now. We are in the process of identifying this multi-agency team. We've identified several partners, but this is a body that will change over time.
Okay.
It's a very fluid kind of body. And so, any resources in the community, organizations that exist to help people that are in their own silos and, maybe they feel like they could do more, the district attorney's office will act as a broker of these resources for these kids. And so anybody that's got an organization that wants to reach out to us, please reach out to the district attorney's office.
Excellent.
Seth, good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to see you all, yeah.
Good to have
Thanks
you, Keith. And yes, good luck with your initiative and everything else going on at the district attorney's office, which I know is plenty.
It sure is. We're trying to fix that.
Good to have you in, Keith. Good to see you, young lady, as well. Tara Zeman with the district attorney's office as well. 8:21, more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Dr. Bill's weather is brought to you by Keith Kingan's Classic Cars, offering the highest quality pre-owned import cars and SUVs on the Gulf Coast and expert technicians for service after the sale. Visit kingandcars.com today.